Nick, my guy, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk to you today. I always give the context up front. It is wild to me after just talking to you right before we started that I don't know that we've ever met. We were at school at like the same time, not in the same major, but dance and drama are in the same building. And yet I don't think in all my time I directly encountered you. Certainly we didn't get to know each other. But contemporary dance.
Yep.
We're going to get to know each other today. And what was your graduation year?
2015.
Okay. Yeah. So just a couple years behind me. So we literally over, and I was dating someone for quite a while who was in the drama class of 2015. So I was still around and shit, even while all that was happening. So we almost have no excuse, but I think it is worth pointing out, because this hasn't happened that many times, if ever, on the podcast. What a small school to go to and to be in the same building and to never meet somebody. We were in the same place, dude, for like 4 years. I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. Did you feel like while you were there that in contemporary dance, like who were most of your friends if you had friends in other departments? Like what were the other departments that you felt like you ended up having friends in?
I feel like the majority of my friends were dancers.
Right, of course.
Majors. And then there were a few drama students that were in my class that I was friends with. And then over the years,
who are you tight with? I'm tight with that whole drama class. Who were your friends back then? We'll play a little inside baseball and then we'll get on to the more universal subjects, but I gotta know.
So I did the, right after I graduated, I did the Keenan Fellowship.
Oh, cool.
Center. And so I was with, Andrew Manning and, Megan Smith.
Yes. Great. Wonderful, wonderful actors. And great people.
And then Daniel Imond was also in that same cohort when I did it.
I just talked to him on Friday.
Yeah, so.
All right, so we got some overlap.
Yeah, so we became pretty cool during that process. And, you know, through other friends, I met some music people. And I was also close with Mary Kate.
Yeah, Mary Kate Harris. Sure.
Yeah. She was cool with a lot of dancers, and so we would hang out a lot.
Because she's a hell of a dancer herself.
Exactly. So
absolutely.
So cool with her, and then there's a lot. I feel like because a lot of dancers and drama majors moved to New York, so
yeah, that's true. It's hand in hand, and they use the same kind of rehearsal space. So I think that's another reason why, like, we're in the same buildings a lot of the time, whether that's in one city or another. There's a lot of overlap there. Well, I'm excited to get to know you today, man. And I'm sorry we didn't cross paths earlier, but here we are. Catch me up, Nick. Where are you from, buddy?
Born and raised in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Way upstate.
Yeah.
There's like discrepancies on what's upstate and
what is the okay. So, as someone from Rochester, where does upstate New York start, sir? Do you got to get past Scarsdale? Does that count?
I would say, yeah, probably. The way I looked at it growing up was like anything that was like not you had to drive at least 2 hours like outside of New York.
Okay, like
that's kind of upstate. You know,
you have to at least like get Hudson River Valley, like break through that whole area, and then you're into upstate.
Yeah, like I don't really know if you're still on the Metro North train, like, you know,
yeah,
like really upstate, because like I'm 3 hours driving from Toronto and like an hour from Buffalo, like hour and a half from Niagara Falls. So like that's like upstate. Like it's a 6 hour drive minimum to New York City. So like that. So like we're like upstate for real on the west side of the state.
What's that like growing up there? I mean, what's the dynamic at home? What's the family unit like? What are we doing for a living? You got siblings, stuff like that?
Yeah. So, I'm the middle of three,
mm-hmm.
older brother and younger sister. Brother's 2 years older. Sister is 5 years younger.
What are they into when you're young?
So we started out, we all did karate, really young.
Karate?
Yeah.
Awesome. What, like taekwondo?
Specifically, there were elements of Taekwondo in what we did, but we also did a little bit of Kung Fu kind of mixed in there. So where we trained, my grandmaster, Amos Postwaite, he kind of blended a lot of styles together. So that was kind of the first that we did. That was sort of like not optional as far as like what we had to do after school. But I feel like my parents kept us pretty active.
Right.
Played soccer for a year, then kind of shifted into basketball for like a long time. I'm still a very big basketball fan. You know, at one point tried track and then like, you know, played the drums for a little bit. Like,
Yeah, I played the drums growing up. Nice.
Yeah. So I played for like a few years. Tried piano for a little bit.
Man, you tried a lot of stuff on for a kid. Kids usually try on like two things, maybe four things max. Sounds like you broke into like double digits of trying shit out.
Yeah, I feel like my parents were just very adamant on like keeping us just like busy.
How would that transition happen? Would it be like you come to them and you're like, this is not for me, I want to quit? And they would be like, okay, but you got to pick something else? Or would you be like, I want to quit and I want to play drums now? Like, how did you end up moving to all those things? How many of them did you do at the same time?
I feel like three might have been the max at once.
Okay, that's still a lot of shit, dude. That's a lot of like driving your kid to stuff.
Yeah, and I think I didn't really start to notice the load on that until like I got to like middle school and high school, just because.
Were you getting good grades while you did all this stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Decent grades, I would say. And, you know, I feel like the whole, like, if you want to do other things, like outside. Yeah,
that's super common, right?
Keep the grades up. But
for sure. And it's a fair deal.
So I feel like they wouldn't even most of the time, like, let us, like, quit something, like, in the middle. Like, if there was, like, a season or something, they'd be
where you had to wrap it up.
Yeah, like, finish the season and then stop doing it. But, like, you can't just drop it. So I think we were doing all these different things. And like, for me, dance kind of came into the picture around like fourth grade.
Okay. In what capacity?
So it started out, it was like tap and hip hop.
Okay.
Those two things. And that was kind of just like, you know, the family being super tight and like my brother being the oldest and him like wanting to try it. And then sort of a lot of the activities he did, I would just kind of copy. So when I went to dance class initially, it was just because he was going. Like, that was why.
And you're not a million miles away from the origins of that style. You know, it's not the same as if you were like from Kansas and you wanted to do b-boy stuff, you know, like hip hop dancing. And you could tell me, cause we've got to be like give or take around the same age. And it's like, I think about growing up in Texas and being into hip hop. And it was like, you're lucky if you found other people. First of all, you're not allowed, if you're white and you're into hip hop, you're like not allowed to be. Until Eminem showed up, you just like weren't allowed to be into that stuff. You were acting black because you liked hip hop music. Mm-hmm. And then Eminem came out and it was like, okay, you could be a poser for a while. And now it's like everybody likes hip hop, so we all understand it's fine. But there was a period there where that wasn't the case. But I would imagine being in New York, which those who maybe don't know their history, like so much of hip hop's roots are in New York, and being upstate and stuff like that. I mean, there's probably more of a, oh, you want to learn this? Of course you do. It's over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did it feel like that?
A little bit. And my parents grew up in New York.
Right. That's kind of what I mean. Like the culture surrounding you is like, oh yeah, of course, because it's dope. Why wouldn't you want to learn that?
They were like, they're like the same age as like a lot of like the people that like started it or like,
right.
You know, so like when hip hop like was coming out, like they were like graduating high school, like entering college. So like, I feel like
prime.
My dad was definitely, you know, always playing like old school hip hop, like as I was growing up. So I kind of grew up listening to that, which is why I think when we went into dance class and stuff, like we already kind of had like a sense of rhythm, like coordination, which the coordination also, I think, came from karate. Cause like,
yeah.
Just being able to do things and like the idea of like things being difficult and like just trying to do it. Like, I think starting out with karate kind of made it easy to try other stuff because I was like, well, this beats like not getting the step beats getting like kicked in the head if I like, you know what I mean?
So right.
Certain negative things about other things were never as bad.
The stakes are higher.
Stakes were higher with karate. So doing that first made everything else easier to just try, I think.
Right. Well, and it also seems like that the combination of the things that you're trying, which are all skill based, so, certainly plenty of them are fun, but a lot of the things that you're talking about are not easy to do when you're a kid, they may be common activities to put kids into, but the articulation of your digits and your arm, you're really learning to get into your body, and you're also playing both sides of the field, right? Because you're doing things that are more, maybe more practical or more logistical things like karate, right? And then you're also doing things that are more creative when you're in these other fields of dance and drums and piano and all this kind of stuff. And it seems like the one thing, and brother, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but it seems like one of the main things you practiced in your childhood was discipline.
For sure. 100%.
You're not giving up in the middle, even if it lost your interest. So many of these things are you'd give up right away if you don't at least have the discipline to learn how to do the practice over and over again. It seems like that's in you.
Yeah. I mean, I think about that a lot in terms of just my parents and them kind of just having that approach with things. It's super helpful and has paid dividends. As far as growing up and trying things as an adult too, because then at a certain point, it almost becomes easier to identify things you don't want to do or don't want to try. Cause you're
yes, you know yourself.
I already know, I can see the path to a certain extent, where this could go. So I'm just going to not even try that out because of how I view it right now. Certain things I'm oh, this could be a great lesson to learn, or this is something different that I can apply to what I want to do going forward. But then there's other things where I'm this, could be a massive waste of time. And so it's easier to kind of stop yourself from, feeling the need to oh, it's an opportunity, so it's a good one. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, you stop saying yes to every single thing because you have that discerning voice in your head that's I know better because of these other experiences I've had.
Yeah, it's not the scarcity mindset.
Right. Absolutely. Abundance. Yeah. That's the key. I'm with you on that. We're speaking the same language now for sure. Let me ask you too, what do your folks do for a living? When you're growing up, what are they leaving every day to go do?
So
are they leaving?
So my dad, software engineer.
Okay.
And
always?
Yeah. So he graduated, he went to school for engineering.
Okay.
My mom was at home for I think a decent amount of time. I want to say when I was in middle school, my brother was leaving middle school and entering high school. My mom went back to school for nursing. And she's a nurse now. I think she kind of stayed at home, was around as much as possible. And I think when she kind of saw that we were capable of being on our own and I think had the discipline to still do our daily stuff and not burn the house down and, could watch our little sister and kind of just chill out.
Right. Things. Check that responsibility.
Then she was okay, cool. Now I feel comfortable working and going back to school, kind of thing. And, and then she was still making time for us just as much.
It's kind of a benefit, right? Because you guys are so extracurricular. She's got time, they've got full-time jobs themselves, doing karate, doing different activities. Are your siblings also Renaissance people, or when they're kids, are they trying everything else out, or did they pick a thing and stick to it?
No, they all were kind of in that same mode. I think the one thing that kind of veered off was interesting is in terms of us trying instruments, we all kind of had a bass and piano because my mom played piano growing up. That was kind of her art that she did. But
okay.
So I was drums, and then my brother was saxophone. and then my sister was violin. So
that's a nice little family band.
Yeah. So that was the kind of the one thing where it was like, we kind of differentiated a little bit.
Right.
The karate and the dance, we all did both. And then, my brother played basketball, like up until like varsity. And then he kind of did some school plays here and there.
It sounds like the first act of a family that turns into a team of superheroes and fights crime, because they conveniently already know how to do dance karate and shit like that. And so then when it breaks out, it's like they have no choice. They have to take a break from all of their creativity and kick some ass in the streets.
Yeah.
Is this resonating? Is that where you guys are headed?
I would say it's actually kind of funny. So where I live in Brooklyn right now, I actually live with both my siblings. So they're my
roommates. Do you really?
Yeah.
Man, this is the first act of this story.
And we honestly, and it's funny because my brother now has gotten into film.
Okay.
Cinematography and like editing and stuff too. And he still dances. And
what about sis?
And my sister still dances. And she also, you know, teaches Zumba and like Pilates. And she's gotten into the drums herself recently.
That's a lot of talent all over the place.
But we've even talked about like trying to shoot films that kind of like play around with the whole like siblings, like,
yeah,
arguing, but then like actually, you know, actually like fighting, but like kind of like making something.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Do you like comic books? Are you into superheroes and shit at all?
I used to read comics more, but I'm into the idea of superheroes.
Right. You know the story of like how Robin, like the Dick Grayson Robin, becomes Robin because his family was in the circus?
I actually don't.
So one of the people who ends up being Robin, that's his whole story, is it's like his family is killed while he's in the circus. And then so his whole thing of like, that's the skill set he brings to being Robin, is he's like a gymnast and circus performer and he can do all this crazy shit. And that's what this sounds like, man. Y'all sound like the Graysons. You sound like a bunch of like multi-talented. I'd be very interested to see the diversity of work that you guys can put together with a cornucopia of skills. You guys are all over the place, and it sounds like you have a very collaborative spirit amongst each other, which is pretty cool. You guys always liked each other?
Yeah.
Always? Yeah. You guys fight?
We do here and there. Like
it's little shit, big little shit.
Little shit. I wouldn't say really big shit. Like we definitely have like similar mindsets in a lot of ways. We are different, but like I think for the most part, like we know how to communicate with each other. We also kind of know where the differences in our personalities are and like how certain collaborations could work. And sometimes when we, like, for example, so I have a dance company.
Okay.
They're both in the company.
Okay.
There's more people.
Of course.
But they're a part of it. And it's like, when we're in that setting, like, it's I'm the director. So they're very like, okay, it's your thing. Right.
And then
Are
y'all Mormon or something? This sounds very Mormon. Y'all all getting along and doing activities and shit.
Not at all. We're okay.
It sounds like family fun time Sundays or whatever the shit they do over there. That's pretty dope, man. I'm jealous of that for sure. I have one sibling. We don't get along. My wife has one brother and they're tight, but they're super different. Not interested in the same stuff. They're good. They're tight. They're like really close. They're like 14 months apart or something. You know, they're almost the same age, but they ain't into the same stuff. So they're not, you know, they're only going the Marvel movies. Sometimes we'll go with her brother and his, lady, the four, we'll do like a double date, family double date thing and go to a Marvel movie. But that's like the only thing. We're not like hanging out making dance stuff together. That's so dope. So I have a couple of questions I actually did write down while we were talking because I want to know this. It sounds like, and I'm almost rewording the way I put this, because first I was going to say, like, why did dance win out of all of the things? But it didn't really, because you're still doing like all these different things. You're clearly a diversely talented person. But let me ask you this. Why school for dance out of all the things? because you could have gone to school. You're not from North Carolina, so you're going to pay that out-of-state money unless you're going to move there and work at IHOP like I did, which you don't seem like you did that. So let me ask you. That's a compliment. Let me ask you, why the education for dance out of all these other things? No education, you know, you didn't go to college for drums or piano or karate or any of that stuff.
Well, I would say it's funny because I was actually trying to reflect on like when I decided to like really focus on dance.
Yeah.
So I think it was like my freshman year of high school. I was still doing karate, just not as much. Still playing basketball, but didn't really want to anymore. And then was dancing, and it's kind of like that, you know, it was a very weird situation. Like, especially now reflecting on it, how like, you know, you had to like miss one thing to go to another thing. And you're like constantly trying to play with like the priorities of one or another, depending on like what time of the year. And
I only ever did one thing at a time. So I have trouble relating to this, but I'm very impressed with it though.
And so it's like weird because it's almost, and then, you know, the teachers or whoever, or the coach or whoever is like kind of pissed at you because.
Right.
Like,
they resent that you have other priorities at all. That I experienced. You don't have to be in a bunch of shit to deal with that.
Yeah. And it's weird because I was just kind of like, it's weird. Like I'm a kid. I'm just a kid. Like I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do. And these adults are actually like.
Upset with you.
Yeah. And it's like for just
what was can you remember the biggest one that upset somebody? Mine was, I had to tell my dad I couldn't come to the family reunion because I had rehearsal for Much Ado About Nothing. He didn't get it. He just like didn't understand why that would be more important. And I was like, cause I told him I would be there.
Right. I think, let's see, there was a, well, I think it's funny. Cause I think with dance, like they took like missing the most serious in terms of like how, you know, crazy it was, even though I feel like I was there the most often. And like, it was just like, I remember like wanting to go to like a friend of mine's birthday party, but like, it wasn't even like I was missing the whole time. I just was like, hey, I want to like a little bit early. And I just remembered like that being such a huge thing.
You son of a bitch.
Being like, ooh, like you're in trouble. And then I thought about it and I was just like, yeah, but like, I don't know, like, aren't we still like paying, like, are my parents still paying them for me to be here? Like, why is that?
I also think it's interesting that, you know what I think they should do that would help us understand when we're younger? I think kids, and this goes for activities and it goes for school. Let's introduce paid time off earlier in life. Let's start, you know, middle school. Just give them 4 days for the whole school year. You get to pick it and you good.
Yeah.
I'm out. Friday, I'm out. Fuck y'all. This sucked. I'm out. I want to go to my friend's birthday. I'm not doing this. I'm watching Price is Right. I'm not sick. I'm staying home with my dog. I'm going to watch Price is Right and eat some honeycombs and we're done with this. Like, I feel like even when you're a kid, especially, and I'm kind of joking, but I'm not, when you're a kid like you, and I don't want to give myself too much credit, but my wife, who is a conservatory kid too, and she was a singer, also did dance for a long time. She was like double dipping and then had to ditch dance for singing. And, just never available, ever. Couldn't go to a party, couldn't go to a friend's thing. Hey, we're all going to catch a movie. Not me. You know, always dealing with that. It's like, it's relentless. And then you want one day to go to do a thing. And these adults are like, how dare you? They really do shame you for it. And they guilt you for it. And they make you feel like, oh, I didn't know you were a loser. I'm sorry. I thought you were a winner. I thought we were working with a winner here, but you're like a quitter. And you're like, it's Friday night.
Yeah. No, it's crazy because especially I remember like, you know, because when you're a kid, I feel like you don't know how to like articulate the thoughts, but you're just like,
of course not.
This is such a big deal. But then now when you think about it and you're like, oh, okay, it's even less of a big deal in the grand
scheme. Because I was fucking 11 or whatever.
And then I even thought, like, I remember being like, that's dumb that they're mad at me. But then like, now that I'm older, I'm like, it's even more dumb than I felt at the time. You know, but to answer your question about why I picked dance,
right?
Because at that point, when I was a freshman year, and I was like tired of like people always just being upset at me, like literally, but like I have to miss one, and right. I just kind of assessed where I was living, and like I felt like my potential in each thing, and like knowing that I kind of at that point, which if I were to go back, I might have like gone about it differently. Whereas like karate, I feel like a lot of people I grew up with doing, like, you know, had left and like, you know, so I was, there weren't as many people around. So I kind of got a little bit bored with it at the time. And so I just wasn't often. But like, that was the thing. My karate instructor was the one out of the three who never like gave me shit for trying other stuff. Like, he was very supportive and was just like, you're going to succeed in whatever you do. Like, you know, and so we're still like,
hey, I don't nice see sensei's finish last though. Cause you know what? You're your dancer.
Yeah. He's very supportive and like, you know, kind of just wanted us to like be happy.
Right.
Like,
just that's great.
Energy.
And it's good that you had that balance of perspective. And cause this is another thing that I wrote down that I wanted to mention, and you have to be aware of this, but this varied focus that you had where you're still growing up with the intensity of focus that like person who would end up at conservatory totally makes sense that you would be there. Cause you're like, go, go, go. I want to be doing stuff. That's dope. But the difference is most, and this has been, I want to say dance and film might be tied for most guests on the show after drama. I've talked to them the most. Yeah. And being in the same building, and I dated some dancers. I mean, I was a lot of time spent talking to dancers about their path. And in my recollection, this trying out so many things is kind of not normal in the world of dancers. They usually become dancers when they're like 3 years old, especially ballet. Yeah. And then they dance. Mm-hmm. And then if you ask them what else they like doing, and I know this too, because I worked on So You Think You Can Dance, and I would talk to people on the phone as part of like kind of the casting process and getting to know people. And I'll be like, are you a dancer? Cool. Awesome. Let's set that aside. Let's get to know you outside of dance. A lot of times that's the end of the conversation.
Yep.
You're like, what do you do for fun? They're like, sometimes I hang out with my friends. And I'm like, sometimes you, what do you guys do? And I'm like, we just hang out. That's the end of the conversation, man. We done.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. And then at the time, I feel like I was like, okay, I feel like with my height and like, I wasn't that great at
basketball. How tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Oh, great for hip hop though.
Yeah. So I was just like, I can move at this height. Like, I feel like I'm strong enough. I can partner. Yeah. So I was like, and I can keep growing with this. Like, there's so much more to learn. There's so much like potential with it. And I enjoy performing. So like, I just felt, if I like focus in on this, I can like really kind of take it somewhere. And
hell yeah.
It was around 15 at that time. So I kind of, you know, and I was like, I can still be a fan of basketball. I can still watch it. I can still play like in my driveway, like,
right.
Like, play like organized. And like, especially with like doing all these different physical things, like, you know, knowing like how I looked at all of the things and knowing I want to dance, I was like, I don't want to get hurt playing basketball and then I can't dance. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, was able to just kind of make that transition. Dance demanded the most of my time and like you could go to school for dance. So I was just kind of like, okay, I can focus in on this. And then,
why can't you get a bachelor's degree in martial arts? I just had that thought. Wouldn't that be more valuable? Bachelor's degree than maybe half the shit that people major in undergrad. Like, you really want to study art history. Maybe that's a post-grad thing. For undergrad, maybe meditate and learn how to use your body and learn how to properly defend yourself and learn how to, you know, all this stuff that comes with martial arts. Cause that's the thing that I really appreciate about my time at School of the Arts is that our stage combat program was built on Taekwondo because of Dale. We literally have shirts that say like Dale Kwando, cause that was like his version of stage combat was based in starting as a martial artist and then taking it into fight choreography. And I grew up doing, I did Taekwondo when I was little, but not for very long. But I always, man, I've just always respected it as a thing. And I'm thinking about it now and I'm like, it's almost more valuable than a dance degree.
Yeah. The skills, like, as far as...
they just translate all over the place.
Which is why I think starting with that first was like, I don't know, I think the way to go.
Yeah, dude. I'm really grateful that I did it for the time I did when I was a kid. I was really young and it wasn't for super long, but it was in that phase too, where, like I said, I never did more than one at a time, but I like T-ball, taekwondo, drums, a bunch of different activities. And I'm really grateful. And that's kind of why I pointed out about you. I'm really grateful for like the discipline that comes with that, even though I would like want to move on at different times. I really think you get something special from like sticking to it. Okay. So that kind of catches us up and that gets us to school. And I don't always ask this, but I'm curious from Rochester, why North Carolina?
So it's funny. So one of my ballet teachers that moved to Rochester, he was, I think, teaching in Greensboro or something. So he like
moved
to Rochester, and he told me, and another friend of mine who,
man, that's a word of mouth school, isn't it?
Yeah.
And everybody that goes there is like, my friend's uncle's orthodontist's parakeet went there for violin. And you're like, that's how I end. It's always something like that.
Like, he was like, this is a strong program. And my friend Ricky, who went for ballet a year before me, you know, he went to check it out and was, you know, doing undergrad there too. And then he had great things to say about it and just loved the program and kind of had a similar mindset. We grew up dancing together. And, you know, it was basically kind of selling the fact that it's like, you know, not like high school where it's like you don't have a social life.
Right.
Doing this art, where it's like when you go here, it's like everyone does the art. So like that is sort of, you know, the vibe. And so I was like, that sounds great. And so I auditioned, was waitlisted, and then like the last day before the deadline,
assistant. Were you gonna go somewhere else?
I was gonna go to the University of Buffalo.
Okay.
Had a dance program, but I didn't really think it was that strong and didn't want to go there for dance, and I kind of had communications as like a backup major because I was really into sports and like I was a nerd, like statistic wise, mainly for basketball and like a little bit of football. So I was gonna like try and be like a journalist, like a sports
right.
journalist, or even a commentator at some point. That's probably what I would have went to, which I'm glad.
How do you feel about that now?
Well, it's funny because especially now with the way sports are covered now, I was just like, if I wanted to start a sports podcast or something, or, you know, do more of a deep dive, because I still like my favorite podcasts and stuff are like all sports related pretty much.
Right.
And, you know, even my dance company has like a big sports influence, like the way we move and stuff. It's like super athletic and we all have like jerseys.
That's and awesome.
Stuff. The idea of like, you know, us being a team, but then there being like individuals that make up the team and like everyone has a number and kind of has like a significance to the number that they picked, which is funny because going back to our earlier conversation about, you know, like when I decided to kind of pick dance and how I was 15 years old. So like I'm number 15, like that's the number that I wear for my jersey.
Right.
One, because of that, but two, when I played, that was the number I wore, which kind of just happened. Like it was a friend of mine, like we, you know, it's like they throw the jerseys in the middle.
Right.
Pick one up. And I picked up 13 in like, I think it was sixth grade. And then like a friend of mine, like really wanted that number. And then he was just like, I'll trade with you. And didn't even ask him like what number he had. I was just like, I don't really care. And it was 15. And then I just kind of stuck with it.
Right.
And then reflecting back before I started the company and then being like, should I do number 15 again? And then I was like, oh, I mean, I was 15 when I decided to like pursue dance. So I was like, it feels like it, you know, makes sense. And so sports is still like very much in the front of my mind. And like, I could still do that if I want to, like down the line.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And that never really goes away. I feel the same way about sports that I do. Well, not the exact same way, but a lot of things are shared between sports and religion, which is like, I appreciate so much of what it can bring people, but I see people run away with it and go crazy. And I get nervous being a part of really, really big groups of people. So that's why I don't like being in, like fans of franchises. Cause I'm just like, man, some Eagles fans might do some crazy shit and I don't want to have to call myself one. I feel the same way about Democrats and shit. It's all over the place. I'm afraid of groups, man, titles and shit. But I love, I got good friends who are really into sports. My wife's family's really into it. I definitely have some good friends. And I feel like there's a lot of marriage that can happen between sports and art that we miss out on because it attracts such different people usually. Yeah. You know, art attracts people like me who don't generally get as enthused as sports and vice versa. But there's so much great crossover that can happen, and I endorse the shit out of it. I'm really glad when I hear about that. I remember I was running a comedy club for a couple of years, like kind of during the pandemic. And my number one guy, number two guy, whatever, however you want to put it. But my partner essentially helping me do the whole thing was like a sports geek, like nerd, like full on like spreadsheets and all this stuff. And we employed stuff that it was like Moneyball for a comedy club. That's basically how it ended up being. Like he would find stuff out through numbers, and the way that he thought about sports, he would use the same methodology on business, and it actually a lot of it translated really well. Yeah. It's another thing that I'm like, it's a shame that sports is not a more accessible thing when you're younger if you're not good at playing them. Like there's no classes in like middle school that are about sports. There's like gym where they basically tell, you know, the kids that were bad at sports, go run a mile. And then there's sports where you get to play them, but there's no like elective class that's like about statistics, sports management stuff, or like, you know, I think that would be very helpful. I'm always thinking about redoing education stuff on this show that it just keeps coming up. I'm like, why don't we do this? Why can't you major in martial arts? Stupid.
Well, it's a good point because, you know, they, one of the podcasts I watched was talking about how they do say a lot of like of the best like CEOs and things like that were like former athletes that maybe didn't go professional, but like at some point like played sports and like have this like mindset of like discipline and like sort of not giving up. And it's interesting too. I don't know if you've been like up on like the boom of like pickleball. And like
a little bit, I've heard whispers of that. Like so it's everywhere.
I haven't like tried it yet, but it's funny because it's like it's really popular, especially like in Brooklyn and stuff like that. Like there's like tennis courts that are being like sort of like looks like morphed into like pickleball courts, and you'll see like bunches of people just playing it. And it's like one of those things where it's like it's not, you know, televised yet, but they're, you know, who knows,
right? It's on a rise, but it could be a fad.
It could be. And it's like one of those sports that like anyone can just start playing, and it's like fun, but it's like you're getting a workout. You know, it's, you know, something about sports or like, you know, the idea of like trying to complete an objective.
There's a bunch of that. And I think that that's why it's important for, and that's why it can be really tough for kids. I think that's the reason why the parents give you all these activities, right? It's two reasons. It's exposure so that you can see if you find a thing that you really like and you can start spending your time doing it.
Yeah.
But it's also the hope that you will grab a hold of one of those things because they're fun and accidentally learn all of the like team building, how to rethink strategies, how to problem solve, how to, you know, accomplish big things on a small budget. All of these like things that they want you to learn, but they try to do it covertly. And I just wonder how effective it would be on some kids to be even more direct and be like, check this shit out. This is going to be super helpful. A lot of them, I think you got to sneak it on them. But I think that the big question is, right, and I don't know if you have any thoughts about this, having your siblings in the house and functioning the way you guys do, if you have insight into this, because it's very interesting to me. I think the big question in modern society about parenting has been, how do you make sure the hunger is there to keep trying the new thing? Because you guys seem to perpetually want to keep trying the new thing. You could rest now on your stuff, but you're like, my sister's been drumming lately. Like she's trying new stuff. You're trying new stuff even now at this age. And you've always kind of been like that. And I think there are a lot of kids who like, maybe they're nervous to try drums and they try it and it's very difficult for them. And then they quit and then they don't try anything else. And then they just like hang out in their room and watch TV after school until they go to school again. And those parents are really trying to figure out, how do I make this kid give a shit about anything? and get excited and be like, I want to get better. Like, what are your thoughts on where that comes from in you and in your family?
I would say, I think it has a lot to do with like what age you start.
Mm.
I think like the first time my dad actually put me specifically in karate, I was 4. And the first time I went, I was just like, just kind of scared or like, just kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And I kind of like ran out of the room. I think I might've been crying or whatever. And my dad just kind of was just like, all right. And then just waited a year, just put me back in, like just brought me back. And then, cause my brother was older, so he was already doing it.
Right.
And he brought me back a year later and then I was fine. So like difference between 4 and 5. And, you know, last year I was like teaching at this like daycare, kind of like this intro to movement with like music. So like 3 year, like one class that was like 4-year-olds, another class that was like 3-year-olds. And at that age, there's even a huge gap between 3 and 4 because I think between 3 and 4, you like learn what like consequences are for the first time.
Mm.
Or like I can get in trouble or like.
And rewards.
Rewards for stuff, right? So like when I noticed when I was teaching the 3-year-olds, like anything I wanted to do, they would try it if they were paying attention. Like if they had saw it up. And just kind of follow along. And so it's like, if you just like, if you present the idea as it being fun, they're probably more likely to want to try it.
Right. And
so I think a lot of it is like the age that you start, because like the formative years and like, you know, the habits that you kind of instill in them get locked in like around, I think it's like 7.
Yeah. So
having, you know, things like people try at least a couple of things before they turn 7.
Right.
And get a gauge on like their personality. By that point, they have a personality. Right.
So, yeah. And they'll come to expect that doing a thing is part of being a person. Like you don't just go to school or you don't just hang out with this, or you don't just at the family house all the time. It's like, no. And then you go do something, you know, dad goes to work, mom goes to the hospital, you know, you go to karate, you go to piano, and like we go places. That's what life is about. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, I think about the concepts that we talk about in the drama school, which are about, or at least while I was there, about how basically all human behavior is people want things and they try to get them. That's it. And that's the end. It's not more complicated than that. The want can be broken into like needs versus luxuries versus whatever. You can dissect both sides of that sentence as many times as you want. But people want things and they try to get them. And their personality is a result of their understanding of the best way to behave in order to get what you want. And then that's who they are until they change their behavior. And so I think about what you're describing and that exposure at that young age. And it's basically like, you're just being told really young that doing these things, these activities, these skills, trying to learn, it is rewarding. It is like, right off the bat, before school, not about grades, but go do a thing and good job. And hey, look at you. I'm proud of you. Whatever the reward is socially that you get, they're teaching you that if you keep doing this, you will be rewarded one way or another. Even if you fail at it, you're still going to win in the long term, if you just keep going. And I feel like they managed to teach all 3 of these kids in Rochester the same lesson. And you guys all just like bought it hook, line, and sinker, like keep trying. Got it.
I think.
Does that feel right?
You hit the nail on the head. And the other thing too, the other component of it, I think that helped when I got to School of the Arts was the fact that I think my parents also like took their time and like did research on like which specific dojo we're going to train at, like which dance studio we're going to, you know, train at, which, or like even like where we're going to play these sports, which was like kind of based on like diversity in the sense that like, you know, it's like, we don't want to put them in a school that's only white people or only black people or only anything. Like we need to see like a mixture of things because lot of our success in these fields is like communication. And so they were like, at some point when you get older, as you get older, you encounter more different kinds of people. And so if we put them in environments around different kinds of people at a young age, when they go off and like maybe move somewhere else, like it's not going to be such a shock to meet people.
It seems so basic and obvious, right, Nick? It just seems like, yeah, of course. But at the same time, I'm hearing this, I'm like, you're, of course your parents need to teach a fucking course. Like, this is exactly both the things we just set up about exposure, which are really the same thing. It's about exposure and context from the family to say, like, here's a thing, and let me fill in the little gaps I'm sure you're having as you look at it for the first time. And let me do that with like rationality, compassion, empathy, you know, ambition, all of those kind of things. Do your parents, I want to dive into this just a little bit deeper. I know we only have so much time, but I'm very interested in a little bit of the background. So are your parents, you said are they from New York City or they're from New York State?
So my mom was born in Queens.
Okay.
It's in Queens, Cambria Heights, so like way out, like closer to
uh-huh.
And her whole family is like from Haiti.
Okay.
And then my dad was born in Guyana, and then moved to New York, Queens, like when he was around 10 or 11. So he immigrated around that time and sort of grew up there.
So your family is very recently American.
Yeah.
Overall, like you're American born and bred, but like the family is like overall pretty recently American.
Yeah.
Got it. I think that's plays in a lot. And then gives me some more context, because that was kind of going to be my next question, is how long have we been in the States? Because again, I know I keep referencing it, but it's my touchstone, especially when cultures are different. My wife's the same way. She's born in Calabasas, or born in the Valley, raised in the Valley in Southern California, but both her parents are immigrants from Korea. And so their mentality about things is different about, for a lot of reasons, generationally, and the Korean versus American influence. But man, and I work on a show too that is heavily about immigration and immigrants coming to the States. It is in my head all the time as a like eighth generation American. I am not recent. And so the context, one of the things that I've noticed, man, and I'm going to be a little unfair here. I'm going to talk shit about my own people. The white people who have been here for a long ass time, man, they struggle so much more in a completely different way, because it's almost like they just, so many of them deal with a lot of issues. If you look at it, like opioid addiction hits those neighborhoods really hard. The suicide rates are really high. Depression is really high. And it's different for immigrants and children of recent immigrants in different ways, but the determination, the drive, the excitement, the enthusiasm is so much more prevalent in more recent immigrants than people who kind of take it for granted that they're American, they've always been American, they'll always be American, they're gonna make more American people, white or not, honestly. But most of those people are traditionally white, and it's like a stark contrast, because every time I talk to anyone who's recently, you know, they don't rest on their laurels, man. They're not the kinds of people to just hang out and just be, I don't know. It's more like, and I click with them because for whatever reason, I'm closer to that mentality of like, there's not enough time to do it all. I want to do it all. I want to learn. I still want to learn how to play the fucking piano. I've tried like twice, kind of. And I'm always like, I got to go do this other thing. Like it's abundance, like you said. And I think that that's gotta be a little bit of what's worked into the mentality. And it's so cool that your parents have such a good attitude about it. There doesn't seem to be a lot of pressure on you guys to like be anything in particular other than happy and well-rounded. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, it's like, as you get older, they're kind of checking in terms of like, what is this doing for you financially? Like, what is like the end game?
Sure. Watching your back.
But also,
that's a little different.
But then also sort of being like, depending on what we're talking about, I'm like, there isn't like an end goal because it's like not about the ending. It's just like the process.
Right.
Which is at times, I think, where
the gap
can be, because, you know, in terms of like even goals with my dance company, in terms of like tangible things I want to achieve, it's more right. So like, I want to continue to make work as long as I can, or as long as I have like ideas or questions. Like the two things I always tell myself in terms of like when I know I should stop is like, if I don't have any other questions, like am I just like can't think of like something else I want to explore, or like if I'm like about to perform and I'm not, and I no longer get nervous, you know what I mean?
It's always that's like a touchstone for you of like,
yeah, because then it's like, okay, I don't give a shit, you know what I mean? Because there's nerves kind of, you know, manifest in different ways, but in terms of like being, even as much as we rehearse and like prepare,
of course, like I totally, that resonates with me in a big way, man, for sure.
Like I had a show last night actually, and you know, something we like choreographed and like put together and like, you know, seemed like pretty chill, like the way it was constructed and everything. Like right before, I was just sitting there, I was just like nervous, but then like once we got go, like before, and then once we started, I was like, I feel like I'm at home, right? But it's like,
yeah,
excited kind of feelings, like once they go away, it's like, well, why am I doing this? Like, why, you know what I mean? And I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon, because there's so many, like you were saying, like there's always more that I gotta do and I try. Like I have a lot of ideas that I haven't touched yet that I'm like,
yeah,
spreadsheets, like you were saying, your friend, and you know, trying to put together. And so, and I think School of the Arts was like the thing that I really like crystallized that's what I wanted to do, because being surrounded by like-minded people, but also like having like a class on composition.
Right.
Because I didn't have that prior to going to school or really even know about it. But like I always had ideas and like wanted to create things and didn't really know how to like organize my thoughts that way. And then like going to School of the Arts and like being introduced to composition and having it all 4 years, I was like, oh, okay, I think this is the lane that I want to go down, even though I do freelance and work with other people. Like, I think there was a certain point where I was like, I don't know where I fit into this landscape of like professional work in terms of like the things I enjoy or like if
right.
They exist. And I found out that I was like, oh, I can create that.
You know? Exactly.
I don't have to like separate my love from sports completely from my art. I can like work together, which was funny too. Cause when you brought up how like, you know, sometimes talking to dancers, and how like that was kind of the only thing they could talk about.
Yeah.
Or sometimes my experience, even trying to meet certain drama students that like couldn't talk about anything else other than acting or,
yep.
You know, depending on their upbringing or how they went about it. Right.
And like, right.
I'm thankful that I had this outlet of like, sometimes there'd be parties on campus and I just wouldn't like, there would be like a game on I really wanted to watch. And I would have friends that were dancers be like, you want to watch that game instead of come to this party? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And you're like, you don't want to hang out with us. And I was like, I've hung out with you like all day and like been in class with you all day. Like I need to, I was like, if you guys want to watch the game with me, like you're welcome.
Right. But the game needs to happen.
That's what I'm doing. Like, you know what I mean?
And
like,
right.
Not like actively like, not watching it to actively allow it to influence what I'm doing, but it's like a part of who I am. So it's like,
And you don't have to give that shit up. And that's the thing that I think is big in the arts community too, which is like, don't let anyone talk you out of what else you like, just because they don't have as wide or the same interests as you or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah, man, that's absolutely crucial. And I think that's also one of the things that I think is special about School of Arts, and from what I hear, they're always trying to work on this, which I think they always have been. But it's a hard job to do, but they're always trying to do it, which is like, you have this unique place where you do have conservatory kids. You got kids who are like, I want to do this one fucking thing like crazy, and I want to do it all day, all the time. But you have all these other kids on campus who feel the same way about a slightly, and let's be honest, slightly different thing. They feel that way about the violin. You feel that way about acting. It's not that different, but you feel the same way about it, because you know what makes it special is everybody else at every other school is like, I don't know. Maybe this. They're still trying shit out. You guys have made up your mind for now. You're going to do this. that's a special thing to have in common with other people, no matter what they feel it about, you know? And I think the thing that sucks about it is when you're there to work your ass off for fucking 70 hours a week or whatever on a thing, it's hard to fit in time to meet other people, talk to them, or do anything else. God forbid, have any other interest. What if you wanted to do something locally? You know, that's a thing that almost never happened. There'd never be like, oh yeah, and I go to soccer practice with the Winston-Salem, whatever the fucks. Like, no one has time for that because we already feel like we don't have time to go to a party or watch a baseball game or do whatever we want to do. And it's hard to try to balance it all, but it is at least you get the experience of that possibility more than like my wife who went to conservatory for only music. So there were no dancers on her campus. There were no actors. There were no filmmakers. There were no costume designers and makeup artists and all that. All the diversity that's on that campus in interest. And it's one of the only things that I find to be the redeeming qualities of the academic program. Not a big fan of that overall. I think the idea of it is great as an elective, but I'm kind of anti-bachelor's degree at this point. But I think the ability to go take theater history with all five other majors in the room and get hands raised and asking, oh shit, like, man, that's amazing. That's one of the coolest parts about it. We're talking. Why the fuck would we be ever talking? We were at school at the same time. We didn't talk.
Yeah.
But we're here now because of that same, I want to figure it out interest, you know, that drive. That you also share with your siblings, which I can't get over. It's so cool.
I think it's funny you bring that up too, because I feel like, which I mean, you would know probably better than anyone. It's like there's this thing where you like meet someone who, even if you didn't overlap from School of the Arts, and then you're just like, oh, it's like meet someone that like went through the program. You kind of like automatically have like a like understanding and like level
shared of respect. Language
and sort of like, oh, okay, like I have an insight on like this person's mindset if they're still doing the thing that they did when they went to school, you know.
Even if they're not,
actually, that's a good point too, because it's like, and then a lot of times it's like, because it's in North Carolina, like there's still, I feel like people are starting to find out about it now, but it's, you know, you'll see like on social media or something, like another School of the Arts person was like the costume designer for this like Oscar winning film, or like
the projectionist for Oppenheimer at the whatever. Yeah.
So it's like, there's a lot of that, and you know, there's no shortage of like people who, you know, are super talented in their field. And like, you know, especially on Facebook and stuff, like I don't go on Facebook a lot, but like every once in a while, right. I log someone from School of the Arts that I like remember adding, but like, haven't talked to them since being on campus. I'm like, oh shit, they're still, okay, cool. Or like, oh, okay, they ventured off into this different thing. But like, it's kind of cool to see that.
It is cool.
I remember like when I first moved to the city, I was like running into people from School of the Arts, like on the street, that like I knew their face, but didn't know their name.
Mm-hmm. It felt like you're on campus in a way. You're like, that's the fucking, yeah. Where's your cello, man?
Exactly. I feel like that happened a lot. And
yeah.
Or, you know, being, or even just like kind of people being like, where'd you go to school? And then like talking to another artist, and then they're like, oh, do you know this person? Because there's so few people.
Right. You know, it's someone. A small family for sure. And it does feel like family in a bunch of weird ways, where it's like, you know, every time I do this podcast, even if I talk to someone I never talked to, it's like talking to a cousin.
Yeah,
because I'm like, oh, we both, and your aunt, and then my yeah, sure, Andrew Manning, Megan Smith, yeah, kind of 100%. And it's like, boom, we're there automatically. It's like, oh, your aunt's my uncle's cousin's sister, whatever. Like, that's how it feels. And even though we're complete strangers to each other. And the other thing is, this is my favorite part, and I don't get to test this as often as I really wish I could, but in my experience, one of my favorite things about it that makes it feel like family is if you have like beef with somebody while you were on campus, or you're someone you didn't really get along with, or you didn't really like, maybe you didn't even have beef, you just fucking don't like them. Now, what's up? Like, You're fully on like, but we're family. Yeah. Like, I hate you the way I hate my annoying cousin, you know, but I love you because like, I want, are you good? Like you don't want bad things happening to nobody, especially another pickle. You're like, unless it was like horrific or something. I mean, I'm excluding examples of like crimes or something, you know, horrible. But I mean, like, you know, someone who I just was like, yeah, I didn't really click with them. I don't know. But if I saw them now, I'd be like, it's good to see you. I would be legitimately happy that I saw them.
I agree. I feel like I've had experiences like that where like you like see them now and then you like even go, what was my beef with this person?
Right. Yeah, it feels like brother sister shit. You're just like, remember, and it was like a lunchbox we fought over. Who cares? It just feels dumb. And I don't feel that way about people professionally. I worked with somebody, like I'm not giving an example, but like if I worked with somebody like 9 years ago and they were an asshole or something on set, and then I see him again, I'm not like, hey, I'm like, oh, this fucking asshole's back. Like I'm still on that train. But if it was at school, you get like a little pass. That's get true. A little pass with me. I'm like, you good. You know, we were under pressure. It was a pressure cooker. So I'm gonna give you a pass and assume you good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's people definitely, even people that I was friends with that like actually were like, hey, like we're gonna like sever this tie, that like if I saw them now, I would want to know how they're doing. And it's like, you know, it's almost like wish you the best, you know. It's like we did have this shared experience and like, you know what I mean?
Right. Bare minimum, if you get a chance, you're like, hey, whatever happened to Steve? Is he still around? What's he doing? You still get curious. You still want to know. Yeah, even if it was like your bully, you're like, where is he? What's he up to? You can't let it go. You don't want it to be nothing.
That's a good point. Yeah, sure.
Nick, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, man. This was super fun. I really, really am glad that we got to connect. And definitely love to have you back on at another time and talk more about the dance company and where that's going. How long has that been around?
We actually formed virtually during the pandemic. So
oh, like, shit. That's cool.
Like a virtual audition.
Word.
That I knew on like varying levels. One of the original members went to School of the Arts as well. That was a dancer. And then... You know,
we'll get him on here.
Yeah, I can
hook that up for me, my friend.
And you know, she and we're still tied. She lives in New York.
What's her name?
Maddie Elliott. She went there for high school. Went there for high school.
Word up.
Just for college. She was one of the OG members of that. We formed virtually and then like, you know, kind of built kind of slowly as like studios are still closed, but like there were a few that like stayed, a group of people that were willing to get studio at least without the pressure of performing and just kind of like almost like just vibing and like, you know, getting to know each other. And then eventually when things opened up, we were like, cool, now we can perform. So we kind of like spent some time building some camaraderie and like we're still going. Had a little bit of a break for a little bit like this year and then like in the summer kind of picked back up. And it's been going good.
That's awesome, man. I love that for you. And I love that you got it. You're keeping it in the family and all this kind of stuff. It's been really awesome, dude. This has been a cool insight into what you got going on. And I'm looking forward to hearing what else you get up to, dude. I like your mentality. I really appreciate it. It's not normally a compliment festival, but I want to point some things out. I really appreciate your mentality and a lot of the stuff that we talked about, your transparency about how you grew up and stuff. But I think we really got to the bottom of a couple of topics that I really, really find fascinating, which is always one of the themes of this show is like, how do you end up at a school like that? It's such a weird place. It's such a small place. It's not famous. So the path to it is always interesting to me. And I love meeting other people who, despite their enthusiasm and commitment to a certain art, are still just kind of interested in so many different things that they're always trying on new hats. And you've got enough hats to try on for the rest of your whole life, Nick.
There's more to it than just, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg, sir. But yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time and we'll have you back soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.